This year, women made great strides in breaking some federal glass ceilings. The Pentagon ordered services to open more combat positions to women. And it looks like Janet Yellen will become the first female Fed chief. And yet, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission felt compelled to release a report on obstacles to women's achievement in federal offices. Alexis Howard leads the EEOC's Women's Work Group, and she joins us now. Good morning, Alexis.
Good morning, Emily. How are you?
Good, thanks. So first I have to ask you, why do this report now? I mean, I would think many people believe we've gotten beyond this.
I think, first it started back in 2010 when the Office of Federal Operations Director Carlton Haddon got employees or attorneys in our office to do a work group to have dialogues with EEO representatives, affinity groups, diversity organizations, and experts to just have informal discussions about what is going on. Around that time, President Obama also took on the issue of women in the federal workforce and overall. So I think that's why it's so important. There's still a lag there. Recently in May 2013, President Obama directed the Office of Personnel Management to come up with a strategy to address the gap in pay for women and to find out what's going on and what barriers still exist in the federal workplace and to solicit that information from federal agencies. So I think our report is pretty timely considering that just occurred in May 2013.
Sure. So it sounds like you talk to a lot of people, particularly women and women of color in particular, who feel like they don't have equal opportunity for advancement despite the fact that you see women in high-ranking positions. As I mentioned, Janet Yellen posed to become the first female Fed chief. Can you give me some anecdotes? What did people tell you?
Well, the dialogue partners, like I mentioned, they talked about there was less chance of grooming for management positions because it was less likely that women already held managerial positions. So people generally tend to groom people who are like themselves. So if a man is a manager, he's going to tend to groom another man. Women tend to hold caregiver positions, and so they might go home right after work because they have to tend to their children. And a lot of times networking occurs after work hours, perhaps in a less formal environment like at a happy hour or something after work. So it's less chance that women are receiving the important advice that you share in a more casual environment. Unequal granting of training and developmental assignments to women, steering of women into non-management tracks and positions, typically things that are perceived as more female careers such as nursing and administrative roles, and generally, employers tend to not target women in recruitment efforts for upper-level and management positions, and the selection panels for said positions often don't have a diverse representation of both men and women.
So it seems like people, what the biggest complaints are more about attitudes or at least perceptions of being discriminated against as opposed to agency policies or clear rules and things that aren't being adhered to. Is that right?
Well, typically when you're dealing with recruitment and hiring, you have that first level person who is either on a selection panel or interviewing. So you are going to be subject to whatever perhaps their unconscious biases are. And we discussed that in the women's report. It was raised by our dialogue partners. And so there was something called an implicit association test, which was developed apparently in the late 1990s by psychologists, but Harvard has where people can just go on, put their email in, and do a test on themselves. It just asks you questions, and based on your responses,
Can you give me an example of a question that it asks?
I'm not certain of the exact questions they asked because I looked at it earlier when we were doing research, but basically, if you go to Google, perhaps, and type in Harvard implicit association test, it'll come right up, and you just put in your email, and it allows you to do the test. And there are no restrictions. I don't know if they use the email to contact you at a later time. But also, we spoke with an academic expert, looked at things what they call like a mini-me syndrome, where people tend to gravitate to people who are like themselves in hiring. I mean, even if you're looking at things like what school you went to and things of that nature.
So we're speaking with Alexis Howard. She is leader of EEOC's Women's Work Group. And Alexis, tell me about at least the structure set in place at agencies to counter these perhaps unrecognized biases or perceptions. I mean, there are initiatives, both old and relatively recent, to make sure that women and people of color and others who are underrepresented get an equal opportunity for advancement.
Well, we did come across some agencies that have programs in place. For instance, NASA has a program in place where it has a partnership with the Girl Scouts of the USA. Typically, one area that we focused on is STEM for an area where there's an underrepresentation, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. So NASA has a program where they've partnered with the Girl Scouts of the USA. And I mention that because typically with STEM issues, it's not necessarily at the employment level, but more so at the education level, or maybe a combination of both, because perhaps girls are not being steered towards STEM education so that when they get out of school, they don't have the qualifications that would be needed to get a STEM position. So if you start at the education level, that's why NASA's, as an example, is really important. Also, the Department of Energy has a mentoring program where they pair female undergraduate STEM students in the D.C. area with female employees. Also, the White House has Women and Girls in STEM and the Educate to Innovate campaign to expand STEM education and career opportunities for underrepresented groups, including women.
And this is interesting in light of the fact in the last couple of years, women have headed up major defense contractors that are, you know, work in STEM and with the federal government, such as Lockheed Martin and Marilyn Houston there. So do you see the federal government lagging behind perhaps what are some of its competitors for hiring and promoting women?
It seems like in every industry you're going to have role models. There are instances where we see women heading up these federal contractors and the major companies in STEM fields. But as a whole, women are still underrepresented. So our dialogue partners reported that generally, for instance, with Lockheed Martin, because a STEM degree is required for many or most of those type of positions, any gender disparities in STEM educational attainment will reverberate in the federal sector employment. So luckily there are ones, or not luckily, because of work that was done, they were able to obtain some positions, but there's still a lot of work to be done in that area.
Okay, and that seems like something that, of course, is a multi-year process. But
yeah.
Are you making any recommendations for things the agencies can do or can ensure right now to make, you know, improvements in the near future?
Well, what happens is every year the agencies are required to do a barrier analysis to identify barriers for women and other protected groups and how they are going to overcome those barriers. They're required to report the analysis to the EEOC in their annual MD 715 report. And so that is very important because each agency is not going to have the same obstacles. So it's very important for them to look at their specific agency and to see where the obstacles are or the barriers are and to identify that to the EEOC. So whatever assistance we can provide through reviewing whatever analysis they do can be done.
And finally, what's next for you on this issue at the EEOC? Anything more in the works?
Well, I think it's really important, like I mentioned earlier, that President Obama directed the OPM to look at the gender pay gap. And we do have the EEOC has been working with the National Equal Pay Enforcement Task Force to assist with this effort. And so it follows that there'll be a release of updated statistics for the federal workforce that provide more insight into what the current state of pay is for men and women in the federal workforce. And I would like to say that the White House website for the Council for Women and Girls has a lot of information that might help other agencies, federal agencies, determine what the problems are and perhaps how the EEOC can help. Lastly, I would like to say that people can follow the Women's Work Group report and other commission topics on Twitter at EEOC News and at EEOC underscore OFO and on our website at www.eeoc.gov.